from KQED.
Good morning. I'm Danielle Venton, and this is the California Report. We begin in Santa Cruz, where city police are saying they were misled by the Department of Homeland Security during an operation targeting gang members. More from KQED's Zadie Stavely.
The Santa Cruz police chief says federal officials repeatedly told his department they would only arrest suspected members of a gang in an operation last week. So the police told community members they should not be worried about immigration enforcement. Afterward, police looked into community complaints and found that immigrants were detained. Police Chief Kevin Vogel said federal officials first denied that, before eventually admitting that several people apparently not related to the gang investigation now face deportation.
I want to underscore that we would never have participated or cooperated in this operation if we had known that it included immigration enforcement. As a result of this betrayal of trust, we will be taking a long and hard look about whether we will cooperate with this federal agency in the future.
Chief Vogel said the department has asked Senator Kamala Harris and Congressman Jimmy Panetta to investigate what happened. For the California Report, I'm Zadie Stavely.
In a statement to multiple outlets, ICE responded that they worked closely with the Santa Cruz PD on the investigation and that allegations of secret immigration enforcement are, quote, false, reckless, and disturbing. California State University Chancellor Timothy White is advising students, faculty, and staff to call university police if they are approached on campus by government officials asking about their immigration status. CSU spokesman Mike Uhlenkamp says the chancellor sent a memo this week to allay anxiety raised by the new directives from the Department of Homeland Security that outline plans for stepped-up immigration enforcement.
For our campuses, what we have tried to really preach is that we are a safe and welcome environment. We're not going to go so far as to say that we're sanctuaries, but we're going to do everything we can to make people feel welcome on the campuses.
The CSU and UC systems have policies of not aiding in the enforcement of immigration law. Both university systems will continue to admit students regardless of their immigration status.
I want to ask you for one special favor. And that is, let us especially pray for our brothers and sisters who are immigrants and refugees. It is a challenging time for...
That's Los Angeles Catholic Archbishop Jose Gomez at the end of Mass yesterday at the Anaheim Convention Center. It was the first day of the annual Religious Education Congress, and immigration is a major theme this year. Our LA Bureau Chief Stephen Cuevas sat down with Auxiliary Bishop Michael O'Connell. He'll be leading a forum this weekend in Spanish on how the Archdiocese is responding to President Trump's executive orders that aim to dramatically increase the deportation of non-criminal undocumented immigrants.
We're trying to form these groups in the parishes who will talk to the moms and dads who come to catechism, the moms and dads who are involved in the prayer group and whatever groups they are, so that people know their rights. Maybe help them to have some ability to ask for legal representation. These are kind of practical ways in which we can give sanctuary right now. We say we hope for the best, but we prepare for the worst.
What are you hearing from parishioners who are undocumented? What kind of fears or anxieties are they sharing with you?
Well, there's a lot of anxiety out there. And I think it's growing as we get some of these executive orders coming out. Children are afraid because they're wondering, when I come home from school, will my mom be there? Will my dad get detained? Will he get deported?
And what do you tell them? How do you reassure someone who comes to you?
We are with you as a church. We are part of the same family, part of the body of Christ. Your suffering is our suffering.
You know, we've seen a rise of nationalism and a real backlash against immigrants, refugees, people of certain faiths, not just in the U.S., we've seen it in Europe. What message does the Archdiocese have for not only people in the United States, but more globally? Because I think the Archdiocese has a pretty outsized influence.
I came here from Ireland way back almost 40 years ago. I started working in South Los Angeles. I was certainly a stranger in South Los Angeles. But I know I was received by the people in South Los Angeles with great love. And
you would have been a minority, I would say.
Kind of a minority of one. Somebody said, well, how many Irish are in South LA? I said, about one. They said, you mean 1%? I said, no, one. Except for maybe a few other Irish priests around the place, here and there. But... That's what we want to say to the world, really, is not to be afraid of the stranger.
You know, the church has taken a fair amount of criticism for its stance on this issue, which some would say that it's a ploy to keep the pews full on Sundays, to get money in the collection plate, because a large part of your denomination, especially here in the LA area, are Latino.
Well, we're not here really to serve the church. We're here to serve the world, especially people who are suffering. And we certainly respect the laws of our country and respect our borders and everything. But in any way we can, we have to help those who are in need. And that's not partisan. It's not left or right. It's the gospel. We can't ignore the suffering of the people around us, because then we're less human and we're breaking that covenant with each other.
The California Republican Party kicks off its state convention this weekend in Sacramento. For the state party, it's the best and worst of times. Riding high in Washington, where Republicans control the White House and Congress, but on the outs in Sacramento. Katie Orr reports from KQED's Politics and Government Desk.
The math is not friendly for California Republicans. As long as Democrats stick together, their two-thirds majority in the Assembly and Senate mean the party doesn't need GOP votes to pass anything in the legislature. In hopes of getting some traction, GOP political consultant Mike Madrid likes the party's current focus on addressing poverty.
In bluest of blue California, you've got some of the largest and worst poverty problems anywhere in America. And it's an area that is ripe to be exploited politically. Republicans need to be talking about that because they can clearly point out where there have been policy failures on the part of the Democrats.
State Senator Joel Anderson from San Diego agrees Republicans need to stand for something rather than just opposing the Democrats' policies.
It's time for us to quit taking the blame for Democrat leadership. And I think that if we offer an alternative, a positive alternative, there will be a lot of swing voters that would come to our party.
And the party needs those swing voters. Changing state demographics mean the GOP's traditional base, mostly white, suburban voters, is shrinking. But Assemblyman Vince Fong from Bakersfield says the changing electorate also presents a chance for Republicans to expand their base in California.
As someone who is a Asian American conservative Republican, we certainly have opportunities to appeal to millennials, to women, to minorities, and we need to recruit them to get involved in the party, to have them run for office, and I think that's our challenge moving forward.
Fong says spreading the party's message on water management and improving the business climate and education system could attract a wider variety of voters. Capturing the White House usually helps the party in power, but President Trump is creating political headwinds here, especially with women, minorities, and immigrants. Consultant Mike Madrid says the dynamic will be a tricky one for the state GOP to navigate.
Can you reach out on issues and connect with people on the issues that matter to them while you also have to carry kind of the burden of the national brand that plays very well in other states but not so well here in California?
Still, Madrid says the recent re-election of the state's entire Republican congressional delegation shows there's still plenty of GOP loyalty left in California. Loyalty the party needs to become more powerful in California politics. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr in Sacramento.
And with Congress on recess, some members of that GOP congressional delegation have been taking heat from their constituents at local town halls. As Alice Daniel reports from the city of Tulare, residents are showing up to meet even when their representatives aren't.
Brian Carroll is a public school teacher, and he came out last night to send his congressman, Devin Nunes, a message with a giant sign that read,
"I am not a paid protester. I live in the 93292 zip code, and I am a constituent in California's 22nd Congressional District."
Carroll and about 100 other protesters marched outside the gated neighborhood in Tulare, where Nunes has a home. Carroll says he's met his former congressional representatives at town hall meetings. One even came to talk to his 8th grade class.
Congressmen are supposed to get out and meet their constituents.
Keep our health care, no repeal!
This kind of a rally is unusual for Tulare, and tonight even the police were out making sure the marchers safely crossed a busy street. Kate Connor was one of the organizers for the Have You Seen My Congressperson rally. Nunes is in the district for the congressional recess. He hasn't scheduled any town hall-style meetings, so Connor says they decided to come to him.
We knew that he was home. He had an event in Bakersfield just 2 nights ago.
an event to raise money. Nunes, who is on President Trump's transition team, was a keynote speaker at a fundraiser for the GOP. For the California Report, I'm Alice Daniel in Tulare.
And we end with a different kind of town hall held last night in Orrville. Butte County Supervisor Bill Conley said he organized the forum to let the community heal and vent about emergency evacuations last week caused by the failure in the Orrville Dam. Orrville resident Larry Teague came to vent.
They should have came out and everybody could have been prepared. Not everything's fine, everything's fine. Hey, get out! Everybody out of here! You know, go evacuate! I think that's a crime. And somebody ought to be held accountable for that. I don't know who they are, they ought to be held accountable.
A second forum is planned for noon tomorrow.
Support for the California Report comes from the Wesley Foundation, improving the lives of California's children and youth at risk. Block Construction, a builder committed to enhancing communities in the Bay Area and Central Coast. BLACH.com. Block Construction, together building greatness. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.
And that's the California Report for Friday, February 24th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Danielle Venton. Have a good weekend.